You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico and Emily Carey. Welcome back to The Ride podcast by Horse and Rider. Today's episode is a little different, and it's a pretty exciting one for us. This week, the very first special issue of the Performance Report by Horse and Rider is officially arriving in mailboxes, and we want to give listeners a special preview of what they can expect inside. The issue titled Made in America, The Evolution of the Western Performance Horse takes a deeper look at the horses, the bloodlines, horsemen, and the moments that help shape the modern Western performance horse. From ranch horses that built the foundation to the specialized athletes we see in today's reining, cow horse cutting, and ranch horse events, this issue explores how the industry evolved and where it's headed next. As a bonus episode of the Ride podcast, we're sharing an audio version of one of the featured stories from the issue, Built for the Job, the Blueprint of the Modern Performance Horse. This story dives into the traits, bloodlines, and original purpose behind the horses that laid the groundwork for today's performance horse industry, and why those qualities still matter in the show pen today. We hope you enjoy this special preview of the Performance Report by Horse and Rider. Let's get into the story.
Built for the Job, the Blueprint of the Modern Performance Horse. The Horses That Laid the Foundation for Today's Performance Athlete, by Lauren Feldman. They say the entire town of McKinney, Texas, shut down for the match race. It was 1854, and word had spread for months that Steel Dust, rumored to be one of the fastest horses on any Texas track, had finally met his match. The challenger was Monmouth, a Kentucky sprinter who was undefeated on tracks back east. Owned by a local McKinney man, Monmouth was heavily favored by the hometown crowd. When he arrived, Steel Dust's languid disposition did nothing to improve his odds. According to witnesses, the stocky bay stallion appeared half asleep. Confident in their choice, Monmouth's backers wagered heavily: cash, saddles, livestock, even the clothes they were wearing. That stocky, sleepy horse handily beat his adversary, and even today, Monmouth is best remembered as the horse that lost. The race didn't just cement Steel Dust's celebrity. It branded his name onto the blueprint of a horse uniquely defined by the needs of a growing nation, a horse that would become America's own. Long before registries or associations for them existed, horses like Steel Dust were being bred, traded, and proven, shaped and reshaped by the evolving demands of American needs, values, and pastimes. Scrappy sprinters were just the beginning. Ranch work, cattle handling, and eventually organized competition would each leave their mark, layering new traits onto the foundation those early horses established. Today's performance horses can trace their evolution through those shifting demands and the notable forebears who rose to meet them. The following horses, by no means an exhaustive list, were highly influential in developing the specialized qualities and characteristics that define the modern performance athlete. Needs of the New World. American colonists imported a penchant for fast horses and a culture that prized horse racing. But life in the New World quickly reshaped both the sport and the horse itself. Thoroughbred racing suited English aristocrats and colonial gentry, but agrarian life in the colonies demanded utility. The same horses that raced on weekends were expected to work during the week. This dual need began shaping a horse that was not only fast, but durable. Imported English stallions were bred on hardier local mares to produce compact, muscular animals capable of both speed and labor. This cross perfectly suited the informal match races that became a popular colonial pastime. Known as path or street races, they were typically quarter-mile sprints between two horses, often born from wagers or disputes among local gentlemen. Run on village roads, open paths, or in front of taverns, these informal races rewarded quick acceleration and raw speed. From these contests, the name Celebrated American Quarter Running Horse, and later Quarter Horse, would eventually emerge, named for the distance, from type to bloodline. As emigrants moved west, they carried the sport with them. By the 1790s, quarter-mile tracks appeared in pre-statehood Kentucky. It was here that Steel Dust was born in 1843. Brought to Texas as a yearling, he built a reputation as a near-unbeatable sprinter. After his legendary win against Monmouth, his fame grew, and so did demand for his offspring. Steel Dust stamped his foals with a distinct bulldog look that became a genetic cornerstone of what would eventually become the quarter horse. They were compact, short-coupled, heavy-muscled horses with strong jaws and small ears. They were explosively fast over short distances, but their value extended beyond the track. As ranching expanded across the West, these horses proved equally adept at cattle work. Cowboys sought them out, and the term Steel Dust became shorthand for a good-using horse. Steel Dust set the template, but it would take the next generation of sires to make that type consistent. Foaled in 1895 in Illinois, Peter McHugh carried Steel Dust blood through his dam line and proved himself on the track before becoming one of the most influential sires of the early 20th century. Coke Roberts, one of his later owners, declared, "Peter McHugh was unquestionably the greatest sprinter and sire of short horses that ever lived." While horseman Milo Burlingame called him the greatest short horse in the history of the world and also the finest breeder. The stallion reliably stamped his offspring with the same speed, substance, and athleticism that had made Steel Dust famous, helping transform a desired type into a repeatable one. Built by the West, following the Civil War, Texas was rich with feral cattle, and eastern states were hungry for beef. This ushered in the era of the cattle drive and the rise of the great ranches of Texas. The demands placed on horses changed again. Speed still mattered, but it had to be paired with stamina and cow sense. Horses were expected to cover hard miles, read a cow, and hold up through long days in tough country. Few places shaped that evolution more intentionally than the King Ranch and its company.
Thank you again for listening to today's episode. If you want to learn more about the Performance Report and what we are doing covering the Western performance horse industry, you can visit the website horseandriderperformancereport.com and stay up to date on all of your favorite events, stallions, bloodlines, and horse trainers. Thank you guys for tuning into the Ride Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.